is now time for the Bible Answers program, in which we present a frank and earnest discussion of Bible truths in an endeavor to answer your questions. Our subject for this program is Christianity versus Heathenism. God has promised that there will be no more sickness, nor sorrow, nor death upon the earth when His kingdom is established. What is the difference between Christianity and the heathen religions? This question may become very important. You see, the non-Christian world is an increasing majority of the earth's population. And after all, many Christians believe that we should be converting the non-Christians. But first, this program comes to you from the Dawn Bible Students Association, publishers of the Dawn magazine, in cooperation with local Bible study groups and by the many friends of Frank and Ernest everywhere. Now, Ed, since we are Christians, let us start where the Bible does. Where is the Bible different from heathen philosophy?
Starting in Genesis, it is important to observe that the Bible alone presents a logical, scientific record of the earth's preparation for man, and the explanation that man himself was created in the image of God.
I realize, of course, that the textbooks of non-Christian religions are most vague concerning the origin of man. They seem chiefly concerned with man's destiny, now that he is here, a destiny which, as they see it, is worked out in connection with numerous cycles of life, in which one is part of the time human, and the rest of the time either a subhuman or else an ethereal being of some sort.
What you referred to, I believe, is better known as the teachings of reincarnation and transmigration, which, of course, are very much out of harmony with the Bible.
In what way, Ed? Wouldn't it be possible for one to believe the Bible and also believe in reincarnation?
No, it would not.
Why not?
For the very simple reason that when a person dies, he is dead and could not return to earth as another human or in any other form.
But, Ed, there is a large segment of even the Christian world which believes that death is not real. Human immortality, it is called. The soul does not die. And many believe that soul comes back to earth in another human body, or even in the body of one or another of the lower animals, as the transmigration of souls theory holds.
Russell, it's essential in discussing this subject to differentiate between the pure teachings of the Bible and the many traditions which have been associated with those teachings.
Give me an example, please.
Well, on the point you just mentioned, some years ago, a British Commission on Evangelism, appointed by the Archbishop of Canterbury and of York, in a book published by the Press and Publications Board of the Church Assembly, said that the idea of inherent indestructibility of the human soul owes its origin to the Greek, not to Bible sources. These were learned men, thoroughly acquainted both with the Bible and with history, and I believe that they've stated the matter correctly.
But, Ed, do you mean to say that there is nothing in the Bible to support the immortality of the soul teaching?
Nothing at all. The expression is not found anywhere in the Bible. The British Church Commission gave credit to the ancient Greeks for the origin of this theory. Actually, however, it had its origin much earlier in human experience, even in the Garden of Eden. You remember that God said to Adam that death would be the penalty for disobeying his law. In the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Here is the first statement in the Bible concerning the penalty for sin. That penalty is death. A little later, Satan denied this basic truth. He said to Eve, "He shall not surely die." So out of Eden, there has come down through the ages these two viewpoints.
But the human race is dying.
That seems very obvious. But from Satan's lie has developed the claim that death is not what it seems to be, but that actually the dead are more alive than the living.
It does seem strange when you put it that way.
I realize that. Nevertheless, this essentially is the view which has been adopted by the entire heathen world. Oh, it has its variations. Reincarnation is one of them. Transmigration of souls is another. But they all are all predicated on the theory that there is no death.
But on the other hand, the Bible just as firmly teaches the resurrection of the dead.
That's just it. And do you realize that the Christian religion alone of all religions in the world teaches that there is to be a resurrection of the dead?
That is one important difference, then, that we have found between Christianity and heathenism.
Yes, and especially so when we realize that it highlights that basic teaching of the Bible introduced in the Garden of Eden, the wages of sin is death. You see, apart from the reality of death, there could be no place for believing the resurrection.
Certainly there could be no resurrection of the dead if no one was dead. That is for sure. Ed, what are some of the other differences between the teachings of Christianity and the teachings of the non-Christian world?
I would say another very important difference is that in the Bible, God reveals his plan for the recovery of man from sin and death. No such objective is envisioned in many of the heathen religions. With them, it is simply a matter of living up to their beliefs as best they can, passing off the scene, and returning over and over again and finally attaining what they call nirvana.
And what you are saying is that God does have a plan to restore man to life, that conditions of sin, sickness, and death with which we are surrounded now are not going to continue forever.
That's right. When God created our first parents, he commanded them to multiply and fill the earth. He gave them dominion over the earth. They could have lived forever and enjoyed this dominion had they remained obedient to their Creator. But God's original purpose in Adam's creation did not change. In his plan, he provided redemption through Jesus, who at his first advent suffered and died for Adam and his race. During his second presence and through the agencies of his kingdom, the dead will be restored to life and given opportunity to obey divine law and live forever.
But why didn't Jesus accomplish the work of restoration when he was here the first time?
Because there was another feature of the divine plan to be accomplished first. It was a selection from the world of a group of people to be associated with Jesus in the future work of restoration. It was to accomplish this that the followers of Jesus were commissioned to go into all the world and preach the gospel.
And God is not trying to convert the whole world to Christianity at the present time. Is that what you are saying?
God never tries to do anything. He accomplishes his purpose. And it is not his purpose to convert the world during this age. Here again, we need to separate tradition from the teachings of the Bible.
But what about all the non-Christians who have died meanwhile? Are they all eternally lost?
No, not at all. They too will share in the blessings of the resurrection during the age to come. God loves them. Many have been sincere in their searching after God. And when his due time comes, he will reveal himself to them, and they will learn that through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, an opportunity to live forever in peace and happiness has been provided for them.
You know, Ed, sitting here listening to you, I have been thinking how wonderful the resurrection will finally be and how automatically, so to speak, the non-Christian views will be discarded. For instance, when the Indian comes back in the resurrection, he will know that when he died, he didn't go to the happy hunting ground. The reincarnationist will realize that he didn't return in the body of another person. the transmigration of souls philosopher, will know that he did not become either a butterfly or an elephant. Those who fear hellfire or purgatory will, when raised from the dead, know that they have been asleep in death and not suffering in a place of torment, and how agreeably surprised they all will be.
That's right, Russell. And the little book, Reincarnation versus Resurrection, examines and explains the claim proofs of reincarnation. It identifies the real power back of hypnotism. It reveals the true workings of spiritualism. And best of all, it examines the wonderful teachings of the Bible on the subject of the resurrection, giving assurance that we will know ourselves and one another in the resurrection. Will you tell our friends how they may obtain a copy free?
Yes, Ed, I'll be glad to. Friends, to get Reincarnation versus Resurrection, simply send a card or a letter to Frank and Ernest, Box 60, General Post Office, New York City. The address again, it is Frank and Ernest, Box 60, General Post Office, New York City. Simply ask for the Reincarnation book, and it will be sent to you free, without obligation, by mail.
Send for your free booklet today. Mail your request to Frank and Ernest, Post Office Box 60, New York, New York, 10116. This program is brought to you by the Dawn Bible Students Association in cooperation with local Bible study groups and the Friends of Frank and Ernest everywhere. To repeat, mail your request to Frank and Ernest, Post Office Box 60, New York, New York, 10116. We will be with you again at this same time next week. Ask your friends to listen, won't you please? And now, goodbye, and may God bless you.